wife years ago. And they got up and sang all kinds of songs I didn't know. I felt uncomfortable because I didn't know any of the songs. I said, I'll never go back there again. But if you come here, you'll know the song, right? You learn them as we sang them, you learn the song. So I did. I felt so out of place because they was singing. They didn't have no song book or anything. But when you come here, you'll learn the song. Isn't that right? So we got a lot to be thankful for this morning. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I've been washed in the blood. I'm glad that Jesus is coming soon. All I pray that we'll all stay ready. Amen. It's the day. And I will and be glad in it. It's your choice. I choose to be glad in it, right? There's troubles on every hand. Man born of the woman. Everybody been born of a woman in here? Well, if you're born of a woman, your days are full of trouble. Isn't that right? if you've not been born woman, that don't pertain to you. But even after you get saved, even though you got saved, there's times you go through troubles. Things might not go the way you want to, and I know a lot of times people blame God for all the evil that's going on in the world. God created everything perfect when He made it. Man was the one that changed and turned from what God did. He made it right in the garden when He created them. But after that, man was born of woman, days are few and full of trouble. A person that's in this world, I didn't make no decision to come in this world. Did you all make a decision that you want to come in this world? Next thing I know, I was here. I blame it on my mom and dad. I've been mad at them ever since. But I didn't ask to come in this world. But I was born and shaped in iniquity. And you said, well, how come you were born and shaped in iniquity? Because when Adam sinned, sin came upon all man. Every man. There's none good. No, not one. If you are good, it ain't because of you. It's because Jesus came in your heart. He washed you in His blood by faith. And when He did, He made you a new creature. And the thing is, you still mess up. You know why? Because we have that, even though we're saved, and though we've been washed in blood, there always will be temptations. It's not wrong to be tempted, but it's wrong to yield to the temptation, amen? But sin wars against your soul. And even though that we're saved, Satan is still trying to get us back out where we're at. He'll try everything. But if you lean on the everlasting arms, Jesus is able to keep us that day. He said He was faithful to keep us from the evil. And that's up to you too. That's up to you. But God made rules and He made the Ten Commandments. Now I asked you something. Have you ever stole anything? Now ask yourself this. Have you ever stole anything? Have you ever coveted anything? You ever coveted what somebody else has? Have you honored and obeyed your parents all your life? Have you committed adultery? Have you the Bible said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Does anybody in here ever get where they never loved God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength? You know what that is? That's God's commandments. That's God's commandments. You know what the God's commandments does? It shows you that you're guilty. Now, if anybody never committed them sins of breaking God's commandments, then you would say, I'm able to do it. I kept all of God's commandments. First of all, well, you're lying, because ain't nobody ever kept them but Jesus. Isn't that right? So if you broke the law, one law, you're guilty of all. One law. If you steal something, you're guilty of the whole law. You broke the whole law. Now, you're guilty. Now what will take away that sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing. And if you've not been washed in the blood by receiving Jesus as Lord of your life, you're guilty before God. And if you die in that situation without being washed in the blood of the Lamb, you will go out in eternity lost without God. It's that simple. You either have the Son of God by faith when He died on the cross for you and shed His blood and receive that by faith, or you'll go out in eternity lost without God. There'll be no rest day or night. There'll be no rest day or night. There'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And this is what people that's not saved has got to face one of these days. Would you rather have the truth, or would you like for somebody to pat you on the back and tell you you're all right, and let a preacher say you're okay, or you got baptized and you think you're okay? Would you rather hear the truth, or would you rather believe a lie and be damned? You want the truth. If there's a way out of here, that go to heaven when you get through here, you have to make that decision somewhere along the line whether you're going to accept Christ as your Savior or you'll die in your sin. And where He is, you can't come. No sin is going to enter into the kingdom of God. So you say, well, how can people quit from sinning? When Jesus washes you from your sins, He gives you grace. And you know, now don't give you grace to sin. It gives you grace that when you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, which is like a lawyer with the Father. And if you'll confess your sins, Christian, before Him, He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I go there every day. Amen. I go every day. Amen. Even if I don't know of something, I still go there. I say, I lay down at night before I go to sleep. God, if there's anything, I ask You to forgive me. And you know what? He's faithful and just to do that. And if you get out of line and you don't even realize it, He'll show you too. He'll continue to correct you because He loves you. That's why He does correct you, because He does love you. Now, how many in here want to go to heaven? Is there anybody here want to go? Anybody? I'm going to put my hand up. I want to go. Anybody else want to go to heaven? I am going to, right? You know, when you get saved, you know you're saved. If you have any question about whether you're saved or not, that shows me that you're not saved. If I asked you, are you a Christian? You say, I go to Baptist church. That tells me that probably more than likely you're not saved. You say, well, what do I mean by that's a good church, Baptist church? I didn't say anything about the Baptist church. I'm saying if you say that you're a Baptist rather than a Christian, you're just like those two. There was two churches down in the valley. And one of them was called a Christian church, and the other one was called a Baptist church. They believed the same thing, but they went to different churches. And one of them said, I'm a Baptist, and the other one said, I'm a Christian, because that's the name of the church they went to. So they decided that because they believed the same thing and they didn't have many members, so they would unite them together. Christian and Baptist church was just the name of the church. And the deacon in the Baptist church, I've never been a Christian, I've always been a Baptist, I'll never be a Christian. That's the way a lot of people, you know, they want to go, but they believe they're Christian because they go to some church or some denomination. I'm glad that we're not a denomination. We're the children of God, but through the faith in Jesus' blood, and the only way you're going, it don't have nothing to do with this building. It's the building right here. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. When you get saved, He comes into your heart. And if He didn't come in your heart, that means you're not saved. And if He did come in, you know you're saved. And let me tell you something else. You'll love the brethren because you'll know you've been passed from death to life because you had love for the brethren. He said, the love that you have, Paul said, the love that you have to all the saints. I'll get there in a minute. 12th chapter of Romans. But it's because you have love for all the saints. Well, you don't know what they done. I know one thing. I know what Jesus knows that you done. When somebody puts on a halo that they're better than you, you can tell what God hates that. God's a stinking God. Knows when you think you're better than somebody else because you got a gift or you've done something or you say, I'm a Christian, I'm better than you. Brother, if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ, you'd be lost too. And you accept it by faith. I've heard the old saying that, well, I'm just because they are, I put my pants on the same way they do. Well, I know that I'm a Christian because of Jesus, what He did to me, right? Because of the blood is the only thing can take away your sin, that blood. And it has to be by faith because you never seen the blood shed for you. You accept what happened on that cross. Not on this cross, but the cross that Jesus hung on. That represents what He hung on. And when He got hung on the cross, He redeemed us from the curse of the law. We're no longer under the curse. You've been released from the curse of the law. And now we have the promises of Abraham. And you know most Christians think they're still underneath the curse? Because all the things that God has belongs to you. Everything that God has belongs to you because what Jesus did at Calvary. And He died not only for your sins, but all for your healing. He died for your mind. Everything that you can have, God let His Son take the price of it upon Calvary. Everything that you've ever done, He put that sin upon Him. That's why God couldn't look at Him. When He hung on Calvary, He hung there for your sins, not His. And every sin that any man's ever committed was done at the cross. That's why you, by faith, have received. Paul said, I don't want to know nothing among you except Christ and Him crucified. Christ. That's the whole story. It's either Jesus or it's nothing. You're either going to heaven, you're going to hell. And if you don't have Jesus and know you have Jesus, that means you're going down to another place. If you die today, sinner, and I don't know who's a sinner and who ain't, but if you die and you don't have Jesus in your heart and you don't know for sure you got it in, you ought to make this day for sure. I'm going to make sure that Jesus is my Lord, because if you die, you're going to go to hell too. There's no way out. You'll never get out. Only time that a sinner will, and when I'm saying sinner, that means if you don't know Jesus, you're a sinner. The Bible even says you're wicked, and he's angry with the wicked every day, but he loves you. He loved you so much that he sent his son to the cross to die for you so that you could be redeemed. Redeemed from the devil. Because the devil got you, even though you might know it. Oh, I'm a good person. There is none good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what's wrong with the self-righteous people. He didn't come in the world to save self-righteous. That means you think you're okay. He came in the world to save the sinner, because they're all sinners, and he came to get you. If it had only been you, he would have died for you. You can put your name there. I'm glad for the cross. Paul said, I don't want to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. I don't want nothing. Nothing. You know why? Because through the cross, we have everything that this life has to give or the next life. But if you have the cross, what Jesus did at Calvary, and brother, it's all about Jesus, it's not you. That's why the Bible said, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God in Christ Jesus. Everything that you, even when you give God thanks, you're to give God thanks in Jesus' name. When you pray and you ask the Lord to bless the food, I bet you, I am going to say that. I say the majority of the Christians in around that I know of do not bow their head and say, Lord, thank you for the food that I have. Do you know what happened in Romans, the first chapter? Because they were, when they knew God, they didn't glorify Him as God, neither were they thankful. And God said, okay, go ahead. If that's what you want, you don't want me. They didn't even want to retain Him in their knowledge. So God said, go ahead. And brother, when God removes His hand from you, you are going to be destroyed. Satan going to see that. You know what God does through His power? Christian, He is watching over you every day. And He's got a hedge built around you. And if you'll watch what you say, because what you say is it can be a snare to your soul. But if you got God on your side, if God be for you, who can be against you? We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And so what God does is He keeps the devil off your back if you do what's right. But you say, I don't want you in my life. I don't like you. I'm mad at you. And you start blaming God for the wrong that's coming in. God will back off. Okay, and the devil will suck you right out into all he can get you into, and then the next thing you know, you're in some pretty bad shape. You know why? Because the devil hates you because you were made in God's image. You say, well, why are you preaching about salvation this morning? There's somebody in here ain't saved. I don't know who it is, but there's somebody in this church that is not saved. They think they were saved. They thought they knew God because they went to a church and they got baptized when they were a child or something, or sprinkled. It does not tell you. It says, God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him. Believe does not mean believe there is such a person. Believe means that you accept Him as your Lord and Savior. You believe so much, you accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Because if you don't accept Him as Lord, you can believe all you want to. The devil believes and trembles. It means that you accept what the Word of God says, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you know why most people won't call upon Him? They got too much pride. Pride is going before destruction, or pride goes before you're destroyed, because God hates pride. You know why? You said, I can make it without God. And you might as well say it, because you said you don't think you need Him. You're saved by faith, believing what He did at Calvary and accepting it and confessing Him as Lord unashamedly before man. If you don't confess Jesus as Lord unashamedly, you won't know what I'm talking about, because the moment you confess Him as Lord without feeling or seeing anything, that's when Jesus comes in your heart, because you believe what God said. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, but it's all by faith. Through God's mercy, you don't deserve it. You accept it, right? And I don't care if you're an alcoholic. I don't care if you cuss. I don't care if you drink. I don't care what you do or how bad you be. You might be a harlot. You might be an adulterer. I don't care what you do. When Jesus comes in, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. He takes all that away and washes you, and you're finished. You don't have to even worry about trying to stop, because when God comes in, He'll clean you up. If He really comes in, He'll clean you up just like that. Set you free. Things that you will take years to overcome, He can set you free instantly. Instantly. Then after you're saved a while, the devil tempts you and gets you back out into that stuff. And then it's hard to overcome then. You let the devil back in, and it's hard, you know? When you go back to what God set you free, it's hard to be delivered from because you went against His word, went right back to that same thing because you started running around or kept running around the bunch you used to run around with. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Isn't that right? He cleans you up. What a mighty God we serve. Because of Jesus, as Lord of my life, He changed me. I was on drugs. I was cussing so bad that my wife wouldn't have nothing to do with me. And I mean, terrible. The words I used to come out of my mouth were unbelievable. You wouldn't want to be around me. I didn't even know I was cussing. My wife said, I ain't going no more with you. No, where you go? I said, why? She said, you got the filthiest mouth of any man I ever seen. Me? I'm a good person. You can't be talking about me. I don't know anything. I mean, I might say a little small curse word, but not to know what you're saying. But they wouldn't know a word that come out of my mouth. It wasn't bad about every other word. And I said, I can't believe that. But buddy, when I got saved, I quit cussing. I just quit cussing. But one time I didn't. The next morning, after I quit cussing, and I mean, I was set free from it, but to show you what the devil do, because he can get a hold of your tongue if he can. And the old red bone hound I had, Linda put her blankets out on the line to air dry, because, you know, they need it sometimes. So she put them out there. He tore them blankets off that line, and I said, you blank dog. I no sooner said that, the devil said, you're not saved. God won't tell you that. You're not saved. Listen to you. Just one little word. That's what I thought. Little word. And God says, that's not right. Inside, still small voice. I asked him to forgive me. He forgave me. And I one more time, I'd almost cuss. I was standing, I was talking real fast to this guy. And all of a sudden, this thought come in my mind. And he said, you about cussed, didn't you? I said, yeah, but I didn't. If the Son sets you free, you'd be free indeed. I drank. I ran around on bars and played music in bars and all that stuff. When Jesus saved me, that same night, I didn't go do it. It came inside me. I got my guitar and started playing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Because God changed me. God will change you. You don't have to change. You be willing to come to Him. He'll give you power to become the sons of God. He'll give you power. It takes power to serve God. You can't just say, well, I think I'm going to be a Christian. No, you ain't. You have to receive Christ to be a Christian. He changed you in a second. People been trying to be a Christian, going to church for years and years, and they don't even hear the truth, and they think they're going to heaven. When that trumpet sounds, the Lord Himself shall descend with a shout and the voice of the archangel, and when He shouts, the dead in Christ, not the ones that are not saved, the dead in Christ will rise first. And we which lie remain shall be changed, just like that in coffin air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. With an immortal body that will never have no more pain, sickness, or sorrow, anything that would bother you, be in peace, all rest eternity. But you take somebody that don't know God, and I'm going to, before I get into, I do what the Lord tells me. In Revelations, I think it's the 22nd chapter. Okay, I got to change swords. Last page tore out of the Revelations. Somebody don't want me to read this, right? Hey, good. She got it up there for me. That's on down. You get what on 22nd? I said, where is that at? Okay, 14th verse. If you can sit there, blessed are they that do His commandments, and that's serving Jesus, that they may have right to the tree of life. And may enter into the gates in that city. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Let me read that again. Those outside are the ones that's not going to make it in. dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and make a lie. Jesus says, let mine angel testify to you these things in churches. I am the root and offspring of David and bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. I'm saying this morning, if you're not saved, God is saying, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take the waters of life freely. It's free. It's to you. God is not holding your sin against you. He wants to cleanse you from these things. He said, will not enter into that city. He wants you to be washed so that you can enter in that city. For without his whoremongers, idolater. Do you know that covetousness is idolatry? In New Testament, it says covetousness, wanting what somebody else has. You know what the Bible said? Be content with what you have. God knows what you have need of. He'll meet that need. God will work things out for you that you're trying to work out yourself. You've got to let God do it. He wants to give you good things. He said, be content in the state you're in. And that's not Virginia. Y'all should be content in West Virginia. But it's being content in the state, whatever way you are right now, be content. That's how people can praise God, because if you need something, God wants you to ask Him for it. And you know what? He wants to give it to you. You've been trying all your life to get it. Now He wants you to come to Him so He can give it to you, because He wants to bless you. He said, you ask for fish, He'll not give you a serpent. If you ask for bread, He'll give you stone. If you've been evil, give good things to your kids. How much more will your Heavenly Father give to those that ask Him? We got something that man don't have. We can ask God for it. How do you think that a man can even pay $275 a month rent and ask God for a house and didn't have no more money than to pay the $275 and sign the contract, and God gives you new cars, house, everything you were? I said we'd be eating peanut butter, we was eating steak, and has taken care of me ever since. God told me, He said, I was working, I was making pretty good money, and He told me, He said, and I was trying to pastor this church part-time. He said, I don't have no part-time pastors. And I knew what He meant. I got to quit my job. You know? Because He wanted me to be a full-time pastor, and He said, I don't have no part-time pastor. I went to my son, me and him working in excavating, and I went to him and I said, son, I've got to quit. He looked at me, he said, I said, I said, God doesn't tell me I've got to quit and go in full time. He looked at me, he said, you got to do what you got to do, Dad. You know? You got to do what you got to do. When we started, both of us opened up business at the same time, we were going to go in together the same thing. Well, I had a business, he had a business. But all that, make the story short, whatever you give up for God, He'll give you 100-fold back in this world and in the world to come, eternal life, because you did it for God. You did it because of the gospel. Anybody say amen on that? Whatever. He said, if you leave houses, brethren, lands, wives, children, anything for the kingdom of God and the gospel, He'll give you 100-fold here in this time in the world to come, eternal life. Oh, well, good. That's good. Now I can get rid of my wife. No. He said, unless you hate your mother and your father and your sister or your brother or lands or anything, if you don't hate them, you not be His. You know why? That means God's got to be first. He didn't want you to hate your wife and children. He wants you to love them. And actually, you'll love them more. Because why? Because God has, you're pleasing God. Because you give up for God. Whatever you give up for God, you're done because you love Him. You know why most people don't pay their tithes? Let me tell you why they don't pay their tithes. Can't say you can't afford it, because a woman had 2 pennies and she gave her last 2 pennies that she had to the Lord. It's because they're afraid if they give it, they'll not have enough for themselves. Now who are they loving more, God or themselves? If you give to God, I guarantee you He'll give it right back to you and more. And when you do it, now you say, I'm going to try it and see if it works. God ain't no trial. He's not no slot machine. You give to Him, God will see. Not only does He bless you financially, He'll bless you in other things. Your dog won't get sick. Your dishwasher won't break down. Your shoes won't wear out as quick. God will begin to bless you in every area of your life because you honor Him with the first fruit of your increase. And he said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Where Satan is trying to destroy you, God said, when you start honoring me first, he said, I'll rebuke the devourer. I created him. I can stop him. God's able to stop him. But when you yield to the devil, he's going to try to destroy you any way he can. If you're a Christian and you're trying to live on the fence and trying to serve God and trying to serve the devil, if you're trying to serve both, you can't do it. You either serve God or even money. You can't serve God and mammon. You know what? When you began to trust in money, the love of money is the root of all evil. And when you began to love money, you began to worship that money instead of God. And you can't serve both. And brother, when you start worshiping money, want money, you'll fall into all kinds of snares because God won't correct you. Ain't you glad that God corrects you? Huh? Praise the Lord. I am. Because I get out of line. You say, oh, Pastor, you don't get out of line. Oh, yeah, I do. I'm a human being. I get out of line sometime. But you know what? With His loving, caring chastisement, because He loves me, you said, God don't chasten preachers. Oh, yeah, He does. I'm proof of it. You can go back and do things and say things that hurt people. It's all kinds of things. You learn each day as you walk with God to be obedient. Because He chastened you. Now, it says if you be without that chastisement, it means whipping on the inside. If you be without that, you're a bastard. You don't belong to God. Because if you belong to God, God can whip you. Just like your natural father whips you, he whips your flesh. Well, God whips your spirit. And I mean, if you're not saved, you'll know what I'm talking about. But inside, when you do something wrong, when you're serving God, He'll whip you and correct you and bring you back in the place you're supposed to be. Can anybody say amen? Praise the Lord. I'm glad. Man, what a say. He's so good to me. That's why I said, why that song, so much to thank You for. Because He's the one that does it. I get up in the morning, He's there. I walk through the day, He's walking with me. You said, oh, I ain't seen Him walk with you. You'll learn, He's right there with you. He's there all the time. You said, if I could see Him, I'd believe. Let me tell you what, you can't see Him, but I'll tell you what, when you receive Him, you'll know He's alive and well. He'll protect you through all your troubles. You lay down at night and go to sleep, and you don't even have to worry about how things are. You know why? Because He's there protecting you. You do something to somebody else, it's going to come back on you. Christian, you judge somebody else, you're going to be judged. Only person you're supposed to judge is yourself. If you judge yourself, you won't be judged. But if you don't judge yourself, there's trouble comes. You know why? God said you judge yourself. Don't be judging somebody else, you judge yourself. It's me, Lord, that stands in need of prayer. When I get online, I got to say, Lord, I'm sinning. I need Your help. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. I got to do that myself. You say, oh, Pastor, don't have to pray. Who? I have to pray more. We shall receive the greater condemnation if we don't listen to God. It's a big responsibility to be a pastor, or a teacher, evangelist. All you know, every word you say, you're going to be condemned for it if you don't tell the truth. If I don't tell you the truth, I've got to answer for it one day because I didn't say what the Word of God says. If I tell you a lie or I don't preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ, then I've got to answer for it. Dispensation of the gospel is committed to me. If God calls you to preach, you better preach. But I'll tell you one thing. If He calls you, you better preach. You know why? A dispensation of the gospel. It'd be against you. You might not preach it in here, but you'll preach it one day. But it might not be the place you want to be. God will deal with you if you don't. If God calls you. But now listen, you get ahead of God and you go ahead and try it, then you're going to fail. Because why? It takes anointing to break the yoke. There's anointing up on God's Word, and if you preach the gospel, there's anointing there. And you know what? It's no different than Jesus preaching. You know why? Because it's the Word of God. The Word of God is truth, and it's right here in this book. And every word is profitable to us. There's power in this Word. It's the living Word. It's not no dead. It's not dead. It's alive. You said, no, it ain't. In the beginning, God spoke the world into existence. It's written right here. Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, man shall live by it. Every word. And you said, well, I don't live by the Word. You're living the Word and don't even know it. But you're living in the wrong side. You're living in sin. See, God knows all about everybody's sin. He knows everybody's sin. All things are open naked unto Him we have to do. Isn't that right? Everything. God, it's open to God. God sees everything you do. You can't get by. He knows when you're talking about somebody. He knows when you're backbiting. You know how you backbite? I think I showed it before, but you know how you backbite? Why, they got their back talking, turn, you're talking about it. Or you go out and talk about them. And you know what? That is just as bad a sin as anything else out there. You know that? And sowing discord among the brethren is an abomination to God. Sowing discord. What is sowing discord? Trying to cause confusion or trouble in the church. Trying to get people angry, not living in peace with one another. Anything that sows discord causes discord, and people cause people to take sides and all that. You're either in Christ or you're out of Christ. You can't be on both sides. There's only one side, and that's Jesus' side. If you take the other side, you're the one going to have to suffer for it. You judge somebody, it's going to come on. You show somebody mercy, you're going to have mercy. If you love somebody, you're going to have love. If you live in peace, you're going to have peace. But when you want to cause trouble and a division in the church, you're going to be judged for that. Somebody say amen, because it's the truth. God gives you no right to talk about people, run them down. Do you know more churches have been destroyed by people talking and getting about one another and running down, and they go out and eat together and say, and then somebody come flat and, oh, I just love you so much. You're so sweet. I just love you, PJ. I just said, we need to get out and go out and eat sometime. Okay? I'd like to go with me. And you know what? Oh, did I tell you about it? You heard about it. I'm sure you probably heard about it. But they you kidding me? You know why it's funny? Because people know that they have before. I have done it before. I had no right, but it's out of ignorance. But when you know the truth, you ought to say, God, forgive me and help me never do it. It's just as bad as cussing. Oh, no, it's worse because there's more destruction there. Flattery worketh ruin. When people start flattering you and they want to talk to you and run their mouth and run down somebody, listen, God called me. And I know He called me. I know He anointed me. And He's able to keep me under that day. You want to run me down? Fine. I can't stop you from doing that. But I'll tell you one thing. You'll have to answer for it. Because touch not my anointing, neither do my prophets any harm. Because the very thing you're trying to do them will come back on you. You roll a stone, it's going to come back on you. You dig a ditch, it's going to come back on you. And people wonder why they have trouble. They wonder why they have trouble. I don't do it. I don't have to. You know, I have vengeance is mine, said the Lord, I will repay. You trust God, God will watch after you, won't He? Man, it's quiet in here. Is this a Muslim or church? I guarantee you one thing. You go down there, I've said this before, you go down there in mortuary, you can go down there and just cuss them people out down there and they don't say nothing. They don't care. You can't hurt them. That's the way we should be. You know that? When people cuss us and run it down, it said, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Do good to them. I told Dana that I was going to go into the Romans, the 12th chapter. So if you'll pull that up real quick. I'm not going to say forgive me for getting carried away, but I've got to do what God tells me. Amen. God knows who's here this morning. He knows what they need. God does not condemn you. God convicts you. God chastens his that belong to him. And how are we going to grow? We don't know what to do. Isn't that right? If we don't know, how can we live right? God just wants you to know the truth. If there's a bridge out and I don't tell you and you go wreck, it's my fault because I didn't tell you. But if I tell you and you go on that way, then it's your fault. Romans 12 chapter, latter part. She's faster than I am. Appreciate Dana. She's such a blessing. Isn't it good to be able to have the Bible on the wall where you can see it? You know how? Huh? Sometimes she gets sung up faster and I can sing it. Or even find it. All right. Now this is talking to us, okay? This is not talking to the sinner. It's talking to us. But in the sixth verse, and I'm not going to take a long time because it's only 5 minutes after 12 and we got a few more minutes. All right? Normally, I've been preaching at 1 o'clock. I'm not going to go to 1 o'clock this time unless the Lord change me, and I'm more likely He won't. There's time to start and there's time to stop. Isn't that right? All right. In the sixth verse, having then gifts, talking to Christians, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, according to your faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching. If God has called you to teach or minister, if God has called you to teach or minister, then if he calls you, you'll teach or you'll preach because God will put that calling on you. You want to. I remember when God called me to teach. You know what I love to do more than anything? Anybody have any idea what I like to do when God called me to teach? Teach. It wasn't burden to me to teach. I love teaching. It wasn't no burden to preach when he called. I love preaching. But sometimes I want to pray and seek God to make sure that I'm teaching and preaching what I'm supposed to be, okay? It's some people have got it set up. I don't know what I'm going to preach on this week. I'm not putting a sign out there and saying I'm going to be preaching on this because I don't know. I don't know who's going to be here. God does. So I'll wait on him. Wait upon the Lord. And if you've been called to minister, wait on the Lord, because when he calls you and he puts you out there, you're going to preach or you're going to teach. That's for sure. And you know what he had to do? To be able to do that, you've got to get in this book. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, that's the seventh verse, or ministry, let's wait on ministry, and he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorteth, that means encourage. You know, there's some ministers out there that all they do is exhort you. They're doing what they're supposed to. But there's more to it than just say exhorting you and encouraging you. Sometimes you've got to have the rebuke, reproof. There's sometimes we need to be corrected. And God does it by his word. As we hear the word of God, sometimes you feel bad. You say, oh Lord, how did he know what I was doing? Didn't? I don't know anything about you. Don't want to. Let God do it. Because he sees the heart. You know what happens when a person gets under conviction? They see they're wrong. They have to realize they're a sinner. And when they see their self lost and broken God's commandment, and if they don't turn to Christ, they know they're going out of eternity without God. And if they die tonight, they're going to end up there. That begins. You know why I'm saved today? Because the Lord spoke right here inside of me, not many years, and said, you've been saying a long time you're going to get right, and you end up in hell and no way out. You know when I got saved? That very moment when he said that, that scared me so bad because I knew ain't no man told me that. I knew I heard it in the Bible. But when he said you, if you don't get right, you're going to die in your sins. Where I am, you can't come. But he said, you're going to die and go to hell. I don't believe in hell. Well, you wait till you die. If you don't believe it, hell is just as real as heaven is. The center of the earth is where hell is at. And out of here comes fire and brimstone. If you don't believe it, look at a volcano. It's hot. And the Bible said that it's really a holding place for 1,000 years. There won't be no water. There'll be no food. All you die. That when you're there, you're not in nobody. You're in the spirit. You're just your spirit. The real you is there. And being in torment till the day of the resurrection of the unjust, and stand before Almighty God, be judged because you didn't receive Jesus and cast in a lake of fire to be tormented day and night. A man told me about 3 weeks ago, he said, ain't fair. I said, what ain't fair? What you told me ain't fair. He said, that's like holding a gun to my head and telling me if I don't accept him, then I'm going to perish. I said, well, I didn't ask to come to this world. But I do have to make a decision, because if I don't make a decision for Christ, I'm making a decision to live in sin and unrighteousness for the devil. And I explained to him that God ain't making you do anything. But if you want to go to heaven, if you want to get on the plane, you got to get a ticket. If you want to get on the train, you got to get a ticket. And if you want to go to heaven, you have to have the ticket of the Lord Jesus Christ on your side. You're not going. And there's only two places to go. You think when you die it's all over with. It says appointed to die. You're appointed to die and then the judgment. Does anybody, you know anybody lived over 120 years in this generation? 120 years? Very seldom you'll find anybody that died. You know who are dying the fastest today? It's not the old people. It's the people around 30, 40, 20 in their 20s dying. You know why? Some of them are rebellious. don't obey the parents. And the commandment, only commandment that there is a commandment of promise. It said, children, obey your parents, that your days will be long on the earth. That means you'll live a long life, and it'll go well with you. That's why it's not going well with you. You don't obey and honor your parents. And you see them dying like hotcakes, and nobody tell them truth that you better honor your mother and father. You never get to a place that you don't have to honor your father and mother. And he said, he that curses his mother and father, the fowl of the air will pluck his eyes out. Eat your flesh because you don't honor and obey your parents. And the truth is, somebody tell me, don't lie to me and say, I'm dying because I've got some kind of disease. Where do you think them diseases come? Well, if you honor God and do what you're supposed to, you'll live a long life. Honor and obey your parents. He said, you'll live a long life. That don't mean you're going to go to heaven. You have to be born again, but if you honor and obey your parents, your days will be long on earth and it will go well with you. You know, if any time you've not honored your mother and father, you'll go to them if they're still alive and say, forgive me. Forgive me. If I've hurt you in any way, forgive me. And then you ask God to forgive you. You know what? A lot of people live a lot longer if they would do that. Just honoring your mother and father. I had no choice in honoring my mother and father. You know why? Does anybody have any idea? I've told a lot of you why that I honored my mother and father. My dad had a strap about that long, about that wide. My mama had a switch. If they do it today, they would get you and lock you up in prison because you whipped your child. But I've had blood almost running out of my legs where my mother, she'd take a lamb. Well, she'd tell me to go get the lamb. Y'all know that. Your mother always told you go get the lamb. You come back with a little one, she'd go get a bigger one. And she'd whip you on legs. That hurt. Little bruises on your leg. They take you to the doctor now, and you'd be coming out and arrest you. But God said, chasten a child, whip a child with a rod while they're young. And then when they're old, they'll not depart from it. He said, when you whip your child, it'll deliver his soul from hell. You know why? So when I got out of line, my dad knew exactly what to do. My mama would tell my dad, and my dad would get his belt, and then he would get a hold of my arm, and then me and him would go around the circle. He's holding my arm, and pow, and I'm going around with him. Pow! Ooh. And then you know what snubbing is? Anybody know what snubbing is? That's after you get through. Well, see, you probably never got whipped. But you know what snubbing is. That's when they get through with you, after you get through whipping, you go, don't you cry, boy. That's what snubbing is. You know what it is, don't you, PJ? You got whipped, you know it. The ones that laugh, no. It's never my fault. Only time that it really scared me bad, my dad was a big man. His hands were twice as big as mine. He weighed about 280, 290, sometimes pushing 300. Muscles all out, you know. And so he said, my brother had come home from the army and he didn't have the car, so he used my dad's car. And I had a date. I had a girl I'm going out with, and I couldn't wait to get there. He said, I'm going to use your car. I said, no, you ain't. I told my dad, no, you're not. I should have never said that. He never hit me with his fist, but you know what? When he said, what did you tell me? I said, you ain't used my car. He got me by the shirt like that. He pulled that big fist back, and I seen my life pass in front of me. He never hit me, but he said, I'm taking the car. I didn't say, no, you're not. So, you know, that's the power of God. God loves you. And you said, I'll never do that. You know what you'll end up doing? You'll end up doing exactly what you said you wouldn't do. Exactly what you said. I've said things I said I'd never be like that. I'd never do that. Listen, get your eyes off other people. Put your eyes back on yourself. You're the one you have trouble with. It's not somebody else. We might blame it on somebody else, but most of the time it's envy, jealousy, hatred, bitterness, strife. And he said, don't you glory, for this is not from above, this is earthly, sensual, devilish. Strife, envy, jealousy. Wherever there's strife, there's every evil work. If people get into strife, a house divided against itself will fall. That's how we're supposed to forgive one another, love each other. And I know you hear me say a lot, but if you want to have victory, you got to forgive one another, because we're always somebody going to do something wrong. Somebody's going to hurt you. But you, even as Christ forgive you, you forgive one another. How's that? All the way. And you don't hold it against that person no more. You won't forget it, but you hold it against them. There should never be a time that you hold something against somebody else or be bitter towards anybody else or angry with somebody. Don't let anger rest in your bosom. Get rid of it. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, because it's going to destroy you and other people too. And I seen the president. I ain't going to say nothing about it because you'll find out, I guess, if it's got right way or the wrong way. But here he come down there. He's running for president again. And he come down and kissed the people on the head. And he come down there, down the line. And this guy's sitting over here, and the camera's right here beside him. And he started coming down the line, kissing people on the head. This man went. And he come down close, and he... I think he must have had anger or bitterness in his heart, you know, because every time, and the guy's bald headed. I guess he didn't want to kiss his head like that, you know. So he was, I ain't running down bald headed people. I'm just saying that the guy, he just kept walking and he kept backing up. Every time the president would come near him, he'd back it up. So that it'll show if there's bitterness or anger or in your heart, it's going to show. Is that right? I'm running for president this year. If y'all. I guess y'all afraid now I'm going to kiss you on the head. I see some of you ain't going to vote for me. I see it already. You know, you can't please everybody. You know that? You got to please God. You please God, that's all right. They can hate you, but if you please God, you love God, that's what it's all about. All right? Let love be without dissimulation. That's the ninth verse. Let love be without dissimulation. You know what that is? You love somebody, let there be no hypocrisy. Dissimulation is hypocrisy. When you love somebody, love them. If you tell them you love them, love them. Oh, you said, I do. It's God's love. You know what God's love is? It's unconditional. It's unconditional. You don't, you love somebody, it's unconditional. But the natural love, I love you so much. I'm going to use you again, PJ, okay? This is natural love. I love you so much, darling.
I love you more.
See, she loves me more. Now we got something going, right? So I tell her that I love her, and the quicker she does one thing that I don't like, I ain't got no use for her. See? You know, it's a natural love is not the love of God. The love of God is unconditional. You forgive because you love that person. Because why? Jesus is your Lord. Jesus is their Lord. Amen? That's unconditional love. And that's what everybody wants, but they don't know how to get it. Unconditional love is when you love somebody, that same love is going to come back to you because you love them without condition. If somebody has to do something for you to get you to love them, that's not real love. That's a false love. True love, you love them no matter what. Man, this is quiet. I think somebody's listening. Man will lie. Y'all know that? Do you know that man will lie? Do you know that women will lie? And so they find somebody that they love and they keep... This is, I'm talking about natural love. And they say, oh, I love you. And they say, oh, I love you. Like I said, they get married. You find out that there was not that love that they said they had. You know why? That wasn't real. A real love is when you love somebody unconditional and keep it that way. You keep on loving them till the day that you die. And I'm not talking just in marriage. It's in everything. You love somebody because, wow, we're going to heaven together. We can't get along here. How are we going to go to heaven? Isn't that right? Because you said, well, I'm not going to have to love people here. I believe that God will forgive me for not loving. No, God wants you to love everybody. Forgive one another. Let love, the knife, or let love be without dissimulation. Abhor, that means to despise that which is evil. Despise it. Hate it. Cleave to that which is good. Hold on. Be kindly affectionate one to another. Kindly affection one to another. The ones you like. Oh, that's not in there, is it? your friends. It's kind of one another. It means just what it says, kind of affection one another. That means the church. Now, if the church has to love one another, what about the ones that are not the part of the church, that are not saved? Do you love them? It says love your enemies. You should be loving everybody. How are you going to get somebody to the Lord if you don't love them? With brother love and honor, preferring one another. Esteem your brother higher than yourself. If we learn to do that, and not only do the things that you do, but look on things of others. In other words, you help other people. You look on them, and if you esteem your brother higher than yourself, that would be make you get along a lot better, wouldn't it? But when I stand there and say I'm better than you, or act like I'm better than you, and you say something, and I put you down what you say, but then you want to hear everything about what's going your way, that means that you're esteeming yourself better, higher than somebody else. Esteem means you're putting yourself above somebody else. We should treat each other alike, don't you think? Love everybody. If I choose a certain person I like and treat them better than others, that don't mean if I like to fish. I said if. I don't fish very much. I don't have time. But if I like to fish, you know who I want to hang around with? People that fish. It ain't because I'm hanging out with them to go fishing and I love them more than somebody else. I do that because they got something in common with me. Y'all understand that? Even before I got saved, you've got something in common. That will make you close. And you know what? Absent does not make the heart fonder. Being absent does not make the heart fonder like people says it does. The closer you work together, man, you know, in church, we should all be pulling together, do things together, go places together. We should spend time with one another. Doing things, whatever it might be. All work together. And you know what that'll do? That'll draw you closer to one another. You learn they have mistakes just like you have. You learn that you forgive, and you learn the whole church should be that way. You learn by being together to forgive one another, to love each other, and that way we'll all be able to have joy and peace in the church. How good is it that the brethren dwell together in unity? It's like the anointing oil that runs down Aaron's beard. It's so good. But we always got to have something going on to try to hinder that, and that's called discord. Amen? Don't let us, any of us, ever be a part of discord, because it's against God's word, and you will suffer for it. Thank you for letting me use you, PJ. I reckon so. Not slothful in business. But if you've got business or you in your own business in your house, don't be lazy. Get it done. Take care of your business. If you got to get business done, you know, sometimes we wait to the last minute to pay our bills, right? I don't do that. I try to pay them ahead of time. That way I'm through. I don't have to mess with the rest of the month. But you should be able to take care of business. Don't be lazy in doing it. Take care of your business and it'll stand. I know we got some good business people in here. They take care of it, but you should take care of whatever business you have to do, and fervent in spirit. Be strong in the spirit of the Lord. Be strong in the spirit. How do you get there? Stay in the Word. Listen to Bible teaching. Be around God's people. It builds you up in spirit, and then you'll be strong in spirit. Fervent. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. That means you serve Him in every aspect of your life. And it builds you up. Brother, when the Spirit of the Lord is moving in your life, you can't wait to get to church and hate to leave. I'm talking about when you're walking and you're talking and you're hearing the Word of God and you're growing in knowledge, you hate to leave and can't wait to get back. And you get into revival and somewhere God is really moving, man, you can't wait to get out of it. You hate to get out of it because why? It's feeding your spirit. And I'm closing. Now what I want to ask you, do you want to know Jesus and know without a doubt that you're a child of God? And you go out of this church today knowing what happened to you in one moment, just like that. Only thing you got to do is be repentant toward God, ask God to forgive you for your sins, and mean it. And then believe what Jesus did at Calvary, that he died on the cross and God raised him from the dead. And not be ashamed, but you can tell somebody by faith that Jesus is your Lord. The moment you do that, all your sins are gone, never be remembered again. All the bad things you've done all your life, God forgives you right then, never to be remembered. He's not holding against you. Every sin is washed away, put in the sea of forgetfulness. And you start a new life in him. And brother, he's able to keep you. And then instead of the wickedness that's in this world, you want to be around God's people. You know what? Are you going to heaven? If you are, you got to make up your mind one way or other that you want to go, because the end is coming quick. Have you noticed how time is flying by? 1 month. The Bible said the last day's time shall be changed. It's going by so fast. It'd be January the 1st. It's January the 30th. Just like, it seemed like it just goes like that. Every month, it's just going by. Kids, when I was growing up, it seemed like a day would never end. But right now, it's going just like that. It's gone. You get up, it's time to go back to bed. Time is flying, and people are not realizing. And it said that knowledge shall be increased. The last 200 years, look where we've come, from a horse and buggy to all kinds of telephones. You can print off of a telephone. You can get on a telephone, and you got a printer at your house. You can click on something, and next thing you know, it's printing at your house. Wireless. No wires. All the voices in the world right now, there's people speaking right now, right here, around here. I mean, it's just all kinds of voices in the air, like radio, television. I mean, millions of voices. And they can take it and put it over there, and right now, while I'm talking, they can have it on the camera, and it's going all over the world. You can't do it. I said this before, you can't do that. Television can't work. Jets can't fly. Them things weigh tons. Ships can't float. They're made out of steel. You can't do it, but they do. Birds can't fly. Well, the way I look at it, but they do. I've tried it. I've even dreamed about it. I had a dream that dogs were chasing me. And they were coming up on me, and I was running hard good, and they were catching up with me. And I just started, I was straining my arms like that, and all of a sudden I got up above them, looked down on them. I said, that was in a dream now. Don't you go out here and tell everybody that. I've always dreamed I could fly, but you know what? I will one day, and not no airplane. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet will sound, and the dead Christ will rise and go up in the air to meet the Lord. You're not going to sprout wings. You're going to go in a moment and twinkle. That's moving on. It's like a man. I'm talking too much. But anyway, a man was, you know how time changes at a certain place in the United States? 3 hours is a different time. You know, you're going in this hour, and then there's 3 hours off. And so he was close to the border, and he said, how long does it take to get from here to California? You know, where the time changed. And he tells him, and it's like 10 minutes or something like that. It wasn't long until, you know, you'd be there in California. He said, do you want a ticket? He said, no, I don't want a ticket. I just want to be standing here when that thing takes off. Because he knew it took 3 hours to get to where he's going. He said, it won't be 10 minutes, something like that. Because of time change. He said, no, I want to see it when it takes off. Well, you know, when Jesus was out there and his disciples were on the boat and a storm come up and it was just tearing the ship up and they looked like going to sink. And when Jesus got on the boat, it said they were immediately on the other side. Can you imagine how that boat took off? Immediately, that means immediately on the other side. Storm blowing, everything. Quick as Jesus got on the boat, right on. I'd like to sit and been standing there when that thing took off. Same thing will happen in a moment when we go out of here. But we're not going to be there long. Why, judgment is coming up on this earth. When there's going to be locusts that's going to be stinging the sinner that rejected Christ. When it's going to be so hot that it's going to scorch your flesh. And it says they will not repent. Do you know when Jesus come back, if he come back today, that if you're not saved, you will never go. You say, oh no, I believe you get another chance. What about where you get your head cut off? That leaves Jesus completely out of the trip. It says, all who dwell upon earth, whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, will receive the mark and be damned. When are we going to go? When we see a mountain shaking or something, and we say, oh, ooh, or get an earthquake, and you said, oh, I can get right with God. you ain't gonna, when Jesus come back, you ain't gonna have time to get right, because it's gonna happen so quick. If you're not ready, it's over with for you, and you'll go through all this, and it's a man will want to die because the pain was so bad that they'll try to kill herself and can't even die. Can you imagine? I'm out of here. These things ain't gonna bother me no more. And you do that, you just got a cut on yourself, and you're still alive. You can't die. For 5 months, these things are going to be with teeth like lion, stingers like scorpions, and they're coming out of the pit of hell, and they're going to torment man for 5 months, and they won't die and can't die. This is a people that will reject Jesus Christ because there's no way out. When you hear them things knocking on your door, and you can't even keep them out, they're just cut right on through. And they bite and sting you, and it's all because you rejected the Son of the living God. He's the only way out. Scary, isn't it? That's why I'm so blessed to read this last book right here, Revelation. It'll tell you exactly. And then people say, well, that's not really locusts. That's helicopters. There'll be no helicopters coming out of hell. They're actually what he says they're going to be. They'll have hair like women, teeth like a lion, and stingers on the tail. It'll hit a man just like when a scorpion hits them. And brother, I mean, they say it's about the most painful thing you can go through. They're in hell now waiting to come out. And when the church goes out of here, judgment is going to come up on this world. And you know what? People, when Jesus comes back the second time after he takes the church out, he's coming back in flame and fire, taking vengeance upon them that dwell on earth. And every eye is going to see him. Now, we'll be behind him because we're with him. And they'll pray that the mountains and the caves will fall on him to keep him from his face. It's a flaming fire. There'll be so many people die at that moment that blood will be up to the horse of battle in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Blood, their blood. But that's not over. It's not over. Because then you got to go to a place of a holding place until the day of judgment, and then be cast lake of fire to be tormented day and night. And it says the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There'll be no rest day or night. Amen. So when God told me that I was going to hell and no way out, that was at the right end. I said, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to turn my sin. I didn't know he'd take away from me. I thought you had to straighten up and just quit sinning. But there's more to it than that. He takes it away. Takes it away. Never be remembered again. You have become a new person inside. You don't want to sin. You don't want to sin. You might be tempted, but he'll give you a way out all the time. Because he loves you. He loves everybody. Praise the Lord. Anybody? E flat. Just as this way God wants you. I am rotten in sin. I want you just like you're.